Welcome back to Inside the Cave, 96.5 FM, 965thecave.com. Look for us on social media, 965 The Cave on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. The email is sports@965thecave.com. And joining us on the phone this segment, talking a little hoop, we have Siena Heights head men's basketball coach Joe Pisciotta joining us on the phone to talk some NBA finals. And Coach, how's your morning been so far? I heard you were you're out running around.
Ian, good morning, man. Yeah, you know, kind of like we were talking about just dropping my daughter off last day of school, and it's you know, it's always an adventure when you're dropping kids off at an elementary school. I joke with people all the time that it's very similar to a NASCAR pit stop type of environment. A little crazy, a little hectic sometimes.
Yes. A crazy 10 minutes dropping your kid off, that's for sure. And, you know, that's why you couldn't join us in studio. I know you were looking forward to it, but we'll take you any way we can. We'll do a phoner. We'll do whatever it takes. And, you know, I'm assuming, being a basketball guy, you tuned into the game last night. I got sleepy and assumed Golden State would win, and, boy, was I wrong.
Yeah, you know, this is I don't really watch a lot of NBA regular season. I mean, 82 games is a long time. Plus, it's not like, you know, we're not playing or anything. But when you get into the playoffs, and especially in the finals, I'll start watching in the finals because games get a lot better. But I agree with you. Last night, those 9 o'clock or 8:35, 9 o'clock starts, those are late starts for me.
Right. I mean, I know not everyone gets up at crazy hours like we do, but like a young NBA fan, you can't do it. Like, if your daughter wanted to stay up and watch it, it's impossible.
Yeah, that would be a no-go in the Pisciotta house, that's for sure.
That's right. Okay, so with that game last night, and Andrew and I talked sort of in generalities, and we broke it down just a little bit, but I wanted to get, you know, the coaching perspective on certain things. Andrew talked about just how good defensively Boston's guards played and how good they are, and Golden State on the defensive end couldn't really match it. Did you see that same type of thing?
You know what? I really did. And when you know, coming into this, and you really have two contrasting styles with Boston and Golden State. And I came out and I told people from the beginning that I was going to take Boston in six. But I think this series is really going to come down to which team competes to their identity the best. You know, Boston has, since the early January, when I know their Coach Mbeku had a come to Jesus meeting with those guys, because they were terrible. They were playing really bad on both sides of the ball, and he put some guys on blast a little bit as far as stepping up and in raising their level of play on both sides of the ball. They really kind of had that shift of mindset to, you know, they can guard multiple positions and their best offense coming from their defense. Even though they're, you know, their marquee guys like Tatum and Brown and even Banks is that lead guard spot, they've really raised their level of play. So, you know, I think it's going to be a really good series. I think, when you look at the numbers, I don't know what it was, something like 75% of the teams that win game one win the series.
Yeah, I think it's around there.
Yeah, I think this is going to be one of those grinder type of series that I think it's going to go six, maybe even seven. You know, Boston has shown, even in the playoffs, that they can win on the road, and that's huge. When you can steal home court advantage, especially out in Golden State against that type of team, that's a big statement right there.
Yeah, and I think Boston kind of took Golden State's mold. I mean, you look at Golden State when they were winning their championships, they had a good defensive forward in Draymond Green,
yeah,
and they had a good defensive guard in Klay Thompson with a couple good guys off the bench, and they could all shoot threes. And you look at Boston last night, they hit 21 threes, hitting over 50%, and they played probably the best defense we've seen in the playoffs. I mean, granted, Warriors did score 108, but you're naturally just going to have that with Curry on the court. But I think Boston played the best defense of the entire playoffs last night.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I think, I think Boston took away, Curry in the first half. I thought they made a really good adjustment from the first quarter to the second quarter on Steph Curry when how they were guarding him in the ball screens. And I mean, he was phenomenal in that first quarter.
I mean, yeah, he broke the
and
record.
And after that, they did a really good job of making some defensive adjustments on how they were guarding ball screens. And I think a big key, too, against the, because Golden State is a really, high-volume jump-shooting team. So the big key in those kind of situations, in my opinion, is you can't give them second chances. So if you want to hold them, if you're going to be a jump-shooting team, and they are a predominantly jump-shooting team, very, very limited mid-range and situational going to the basket, man, you got to really hold them to one and done. And I think Boston did a much better job of that in the second, third, and fourth quarters. And I was surprised that, usually when, because I think Boston has the ability to score in all three areas, can shoot the three, I think their mid-range game is really good, and obviously attacking the basket, they're pretty good too. I was surprised they wanted to get in a jump shooting contest with the jump shooting team. I thought they would really wail away at the body and attack the basket, because if you look at Golden State's roster, very limited rim protection. Whereas, Boston has the Thies kid. I call him a kid. He's a grown man. They have Thies, right, and they have Horford, who can protect the rim in those kind of aspects. So I was surprised to see him get in a jump shooting contest, especially on the road.
Siena Heights head basketball coach Joe Pachota joining us inside the cave. Not physically, but on the phone. You talked about the adjustments that Boston made on Steph Curry, and he put up 21 in the first. He put up 13 points the rest of the game. You talked about attacking the ball screen. Was it basically the first quarter they were sagging down underneath that screen, and the second quarter and beyond they went over the top? Take me into the mindset of a coach and what they actually did.
Well, I think from what I saw in the first quarter is their bigs were kind of, they would sit back in almost a 2x2 coverage. So they were 2 feet off and 2 feet below that ball screen, and the guard would try and go over the top. And if you give Curry an inch, I mean, that's way too much, way too much. And I thought they did a good job on the adjustments of switching sometimes after the first quarter, and then even almost in a trapping type of situation where they're making him more of a playmaker instead of a scorer. When you have a scorer like Curry and he comes out in the first half and he is just putting on an absolute show, it's hard for guys. Very rarely are you going to see this a lot, where it's hard for the four other guys on the floor to get in an offensive rhythm, because he's just, making everything. Whereas when you looked at Boston's lineup, it was that balanced scoring. And it was a night they were so balanced, and Tatum was terrible. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was 3 of 17. Yeah. So here's one of your, marquee guys for Boston who is just, he went into playmaker mode and got other guys easy shots and easy opportunities, and they knocked him down. And when other guys are kind of standing around for Golden State a little bit because Steph is being Steph, man, sometimes that hurts you as the game progresses, because guys can't get into that rhythm and that flow offensively. And for those NBA guys, man, sometimes that's really hard to do.
And I kind of think I said it earlier. I was like, I think that is a game for Tatum, even though he shot horribly. He shot 3 for 17. That's a game, come end of the series, if Boston wins, that sticks out as he's finals MVP, because he had a horrible day. He could have just sat back and sat on the bench and not played 40 minutes and just been a non-factor for them. But he switched up his game and was able to be a playmaker and a good defender, and was able to, like you said, make everyone around him better. Where it seemed as though when Curry got cold, it was just try to keep going with it and just keep shooting. And it didn't really seem like he was being much of a playmaker after he got cold in the second half.
Yeah, and that's where it's a challenge for his other teammates to necessarily, okay, now once the game is established and the flow and the tempo and the pace of the game is established, it's hard to get back up into that speed a little bit because it's already going. So, and that's a great point. And you saw that last night a little bit. And I thought Boston was just consistently consistent on that offensive side of the ball throughout the game. And, you know, Golden State couldn't put them away with that huge first quarter that Steph had. And, you know, again, I think this is just going to come down to the defensive side of it, whereas you look at Boston, they're big, they're physical, they're multi-dimensional on the defensive side of the ball. You got guys that can guard multiple positions and on the flip side of it, I mean, they've got guys that can make shots and make plays offensively. So when you have that kind of balance, it definitely puts you in a position to be successful, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you had Tatum. He didn't score at all last night, so you had three other guys score 20-plus for you. So, I mean, in my eyes, you have options. If Tatum's not doing good, you have your second, third, and I would say even their, like, sixth option was able to score 20 yeah. points last night for them. So,
yeah, and especially when you get into postseason play, too, and I tell our guys this all the time, whether it's the NCAA tournament, or the NBA playoffs, you know, you're not nearly going to have as many possessions as you would in a regular season game, just because your mindset and your approach of, you know, playoff basketball or postseason basketball is every possession matters, and every possession is going to be big, because if you control the ball, you're going to be able to control the pace of the game. And and Boston did just that. It's early when, and I hate to, you know, keep going back to it, but when Steph's pouring it in early and it's easy early, man, that's a dangerous sign, because, you know, those possessions might not be there late. And we saw that where, okay, if you're going to play fast and, you know, one or two touches and, you know, somebody's shooting a jump shot, whereas Boston's going to get to that second and third side of the floor and really control the ball and control the pace, definitely puts you in a position to be successful late and create more balance.
So being a coach, obviously, at your level, I think you're one of the few people that's going to watch the coaches and, you know, adjustments they make and maybe their demeanor on that bench. I think you're looking at, and Andrew and I have talked about this, you know, Steve Kerr, very underrated as a coach. And of course, the young man on the other side who you mentioned, Udoka, and what he's done with Boston. What's it like watching these two coaches go back and forth?
Now it's a game within the game, you know, and it becomes a chess match where it's, you know, I thought Udoka made, like we talked about, the defensive adjustments in the second half were huge, and they just kept applying them. I think, you know, one thing that Steve Kerr is now 7-10 in his last 17 games against Boston. I saw that the other day on Twitter. I thought that was interesting. So now you're looking at, you know, those matchups, you know, and how, you know, what kind of matchups and what kind of guys are going to be out on the floor against, you know, certain times are going to be key. I don't think you get to this point in the season and, you know, you're not changing your makeup, you're not changing your mindset. You know, what you are is what you are. But now it's going to be one of those things where, okay, are we going to be good when great is expected? You know, are guys going to be able to answer the bell and step up and raise their level of play when those type of things are expected? I think, you know, here, you know, everybody's talking about the pool kid from Michigan who stepped up and raised his level of play. You know, when you're in this kind of spotlight, man, those lights are really, they're not warm, they are hot. So can I raise my level of play? Can, you know, I'm a Michigan State guy. Man, Draymond's got to play a whole lot better. He's got to be a problem for Boston. And last night he just wasn't. So now those, you know, whose role guys, your marquee guys kind of take care of themselves. But, you know, your role guys, I thought Boston's role guys were better last night. And it definitely was a huge advantage for him. So, I don't think it's maybe a technical or tactical adjustment that Golden State's going to make, or, you know, Boston makes moving forward in the series, I think it's going to be, all right, now personnel, let's go. We got to have guys stepping up, making shots, and making plays. So we'll see.
And I think, you know, going back to the coaches, you said it's a game within the game. It I feel like it's even more. They're cut from the same cloth. They were both guards that played under Greg Popovich. They have the same.
Yeah.
They both came from that same philosophy. They both. I mean, you see it. Like I said earlier, they both play. Boston is basically playing with the roster that Golden State had during their championship run. So they basically have the same philosophy going into this game. So it's like two of the same guys coaching against each other. Almost feels like.
Yeah, very much so. From the philosophical standpoint of it, no, there's no question about it. Now it's just going to be, okay, who's going to be able to go out and execute our game plans and then be able to, you know, make those slight adjustments, you know, scouting report-wise, depending on who's doing what in the game and be able to apply it and be successful with it.
Well, Coach, one quick thing before we let you go. What are you looking forward to most about Game 2?
You know what? I think a lot of it is going to be the tougher team sets the rules. And when you get into postseason play, it's, you know, everybody's tired. Everybody's sore. So now I think the one thing that I look forward to see is if not the, and I think Steph Curry's a phenomenal player. I mean, one of the most electric players in the history of the NBA. Does he come out and does he look to score it like he did, or does he come out with balance? Is he, you know, making open shots? Is he making the game easier for guys? Our guys, you know, because I saw in the first quarter we had guys, you know, Golden State was, they were missing shots at the rim. So I think that is Golden State balanced offensively, you know, and again, is Boston going to try and come out and get in a jump shooting game with the jump shooting team? You know, it's great when they're going in. You know, when you make 21 on the road, that's great. But if they come out and try and do that same type of thing again, you know, are they going to be able to make those shots? So it'll be interesting to see the dynamic of it. I think now what we have to wait a couple of days, isn't it? Did they play again Sunday or something like that?
Sunday night. Yeah.
Yeah, they play now. Yeah. It goes like every 2 days or every 3 days.
Why make it convenient? Sunday night at 8 o'clock. Stay up late, right, Coach?
Yeah. Yeah, right. Hey, kids got no more school, so now they have a chance to maybe stay up and watch at least a little bit of it.
Oh, there you go.
I think it's going to be a great series, man. I really do.
I think so, too. And thanks again for joining us on the phone. Siena Heights University head basketball coach Joe Pachota joining us inside the cave. Maybe we'll get you in studio maybe next week or the week after to talk some hoop. How's that sound?
Hey, let's do it. I'll bring the coffee. Let's go. I'm there.
Oh, man. All right. We'll bring the donuts. Again, thanks, Coach, and we'll look forward to talking to you later.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.